हरि ओ श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Text 34. Krishna's inconceivability. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, whose toes alone, possessing inconceivable powers, adichintya-tattve, are attained only after a billion years by millions of sages who discipline the mind and breath. This verse explains how the attainment of Krishna eludes even the greatest yogis and jnanis. In spite of their asceticism and renunciation, they still fall short of the supreme goal. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains. It is not sufficient to destroy the condition of materiality, but the real gain to the jiva is his eternal existence in his self-realized state. This can be attained only by the grace of unalloyed devotion, which is essentially chit, or transcendental in character. For this end, abstract and uninteresting mental speculation is of no avail. Brahma Samhita 5.34 purport. Jiva Goswami remarks, the truth of the matter is that he is avichintya-tattva, inconceivable. Skanda Purana and Mahabharata say, achintya kalu ye bhava natam starkena yo jaye prakriti bhya param yachcha tad achintasya lakshanam. Inconceivable states are not subject to material logic. The nature of the inconceivable is that it is beyond material objects. Brahma Sutra says, Shrutestu Shabda Mulatvat. Contradictory states can exist in the Lord because the scriptures state this, and scriptures are the root of knowledge. Vedanta Sutra 2.1.27. Achintya means that something which has power like jewels or special medicines, which, when applied to the head, affect other parts of the body. Inconceivably, this powerful is suitable to the Lord. So this point's coming out that it's not about what austerities you do, it's not about freeing yourself from material entanglement, it's about developing love for Krishna. That's the actual thing. Because when that is the interest, then one can, Krishna will reveal himself. If the interest is only to be freed from the difficulties of the material world, Krishna will give you that. Right? But he won't give himself unless it's about devotion, as we discussed in the morning. It's that seeing that he is everything, then why will he be interested in your dealing or not dealing with what is him in the way of situation? Right? It's him as a person. When you deal with him as a person in affection, that's interesting. I'm saying we can give the whole world to Krishna, but the world's already Krishna. So what is the speciality? Right? I go to your house, you know, I go into your room, find whatever's your most valuable object. Then I come into the living room where you're sitting comfortably and say, here, I'm giving this to you. It's like, what's the meaning? Right? So the only thing that can be of value that we can offer the Lord that he'll be interested in is pure devotion. Because that, it's not a situation, it's not an activity, it's not a result, right? It's an attitude. That's unique, that's special. That's uniqueness of the individuality of the living entities, is they can have this feeling of affection in exchange based on that. But as far as what powers they have, what positions they have in that, that's just according to who they are. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
So is it the same in Vaishnava society between Vaishnavas?
Yes. Means the point is that you're going to have to express that affection through something.
Yeah.
Therefore, the value of the situation and the ingredients and the endeavor and the result gained. But its use is only in as much as it expresses the affection for the Lord, or for, you know. And as we discussed before, is everything has to be seen in connection with the Lord. So the devotees are special because of their connection with the Lord. Even the non-devotees are special because of their connection. But because they're not unaware, they're not acting in that natural connection, therefore they don't get as much attention as devotees who do. Because the point is Krishna is equal to everybody, but if you interact with him, then you get some special attention. But the same attention is given to everybody. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you're giving everybody 100 rupees. But someone who interacts, then you may get more, or something else. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. So the equality is there, because you can't say, well, it has to be equal to everybody, but everyone's not reciprocating equally. There has to be some element of endeavor and results. Right? That's just the nature. If it's like this, you have the quality to be attained. Right? So that means a particular form and endeavor will get it. So the point is if you're not making the endeavor, you're not getting the result. So why would it be equal? Right? Therefore, the sense of justice comes up. In the spiritual world, then everybody's acting in a full form. But in the material world, then there's this idea, I'll get something for nothing. So the point is justice therefore becomes important. When you're dealing with results, you have to have justice. Because results only come when you put in the proper endeavor. You do the proper endeavor, you get the proper result. You don't do the proper endeavor, you don't get the proper result. Right? It's just like the child. He makes an endeavor that may be faulty, but because of the mood and everything, everyone appreciates. Right? So in other words, the endeavor was there on the platform of emotion or intent. So it's reciprocated. But as far as goods go, you know, I mean, is the multinational company going to hire the 3-year-old to take care of, you know, as the CEO? I mean, he's cute, you know. He'll walk around on the table really nice. His mommy will dress him up good. No. So that's another thing. That's in a different aspect. So in the same way as you put in the mood, you get a reciprocation in the mood. Right? You put in the physical endeavor that gives the results, you get the return of that results. Does that make sense? Therefore, and so then there's a proper way of doing things. Right? Because you're dealing with it, therefore there's the proper attitude, the proper way of dealing with it, therefore the ethics. Understand? So the element of artha comes from the feminine nature. So that's why it's important. But the point is what you're working with, trying to obtain, that's the masculine, that's Krishna. Does that make sense? So then if you're dealing with it on mundane, then it's not very glorious. As we see, is that everything is reversed. Does that make sense? You know, so the highest element is bringing about pleasure to Krishna through his senses. That means then you need something to do that with. Right? If you're going to please the senses, you need something to use to please. That means you'll have to perform the duties in that generate it. And then because you want things on the superior platform, then you're working on the superior platform. You want the return in internal potency, you have to put in the endeavor internal potency. Right? But the whole basis of it is, why are you doing that at all? Because of love for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that whole thing, it works out here. Here it comes out lower state.
But on the transcendental platform, it's at a higher state. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, the whole point is if without that, you don't get anywhere. It doesn't matter how much brains you have, how austere you are, this or that. What's the intent? The intent here for these great personalities, these sages, is simply to become free from material energy. That they'll get. Without, it won't take millions of years. But to attain the lotus feet of the Lord, that will take them billions of years. And then only by the association of devotees. So if they took that up from the beginning, then you take off quite a few zeros. Does that make sense? Like that. Because then in this lifetime you can perfect yourself. So that's the whole point, is that it's about Krishna and the relationship with Krishna, not all the other things. The other things are only important because they're expressing. Let's say, okay, you're arranging a party for someone, right? And so, you know, it's going to cost money, a lot of endeavor, a lot of arrangements, decorations, all kinds of things, cooking, venues, everything like that. Now, what makes it go nicely? Right? I'm making these arrangements. What makes it go smoothly for me?
The conviviality of the host?
That's there. No, but I'm saying making the arrangements. What's going to be, if I'm making the arrangements, what's going to make it, in my mind, appear smoothly? It'll run smoothly.
If everything functions the way I want
it. But then it's about things going the way you want it.
That's smoothly.
Seeing people happy?
No, that'll be a result. What about means, in other words, when we ask these questions, they're always in context of the discussion. So, therefore, if you have affection for someone, therefore, no matter what troubles come up, it goes smoothly. Because, oh, that didn't work, okay, let's try this and that. But if it's not based on, it's just something you have to do, then there's this obstacle, that obstacle. Does that make sense? So we're talking about here love of God. You know, it's a pretty full, intense affection. So it's not something that wanes. So then there is no difficulty. There is no problems. So therefore, whatever is coming up, we're not worried about it. Does this mean the fan's going to work? Is that what's happening?
Okay. No, we don't worry about it.
Huh? No, we're not. If it works, then great. If it doesn't, then it will have a bird's nest on it very soon. One or the other. Unless we can train the birds to somehow or another flap their wings and make it go around. So, not sure how you convince them to do that. Does that make sense? So that's what's special. So if we, in making arrangements for Krishna consciousness, forget it's about Krishna consciousness and pleasing Krishna, then we'll become overwhelmed and disturbed by everything. But when we remember it's for Krishna, then even though it may be overwhelming, it's being done because of the affection. Does that make sense? So therefore we need practice to be able to do that. Otherwise the tendency is to... Yes?
So then the question comes, when people complain, you know, I did so many years of service, this, that, and I have nothing, I have to take care of myself, this, that, blah, then is that means that, you know, people were not doing it for Krishna? Or?
It means they're doing it for Krishna, but at the same time is that element of pure devotion is not there. The element may be there at time to time, but then the question to ask the person is, means depending on the mood, of course, is that, so does that mean that you did all these years of service because you expected to be taken care of? Is that why you did it? Or were you doing it to please Krishna? So which answer will they give?
Well, I guess a mixed kind of answer.
Yeah, but that means, in other words, they'll reluctantly give the first answer.
Yeah.
They want to identify as a devotee. They'll have to do that. So then what's the weakness? So in other words, they shouldn't bring that up. That shouldn't be the topic. The topic is why is Vaishnavas aren't taking care of each other? Why isn't there that support in society? That's the kind of thing that could be said. Because the point is if you bring up, I did all this work, where's my results? Then that's mercenary. So that's just, what's the difference between that and what one was doing before Krishna consciousness?
Yeah.
So that shouldn't be a topic. It should, if it does come up, then it should be the role of leadership to see, well, what's going on. And then if it's a matter of, if there is some weaknesses there, adjust that. If it's not, it's just a matter of the person's, you know, having a, how you say, a materialistic moment, you know. Then one just deals with that and just preaches. Because the point is then it's karma. Because the point is, why are they disturbed? Because of the lack of vision. Why is there a lack of vision? Because of the lack of attitude. Right? If the attitude's proper, then, you know, one has nothing. Right? They can read the 11th canto, the Avantipur Brahmana. Right? Like that. So here's somebody who ends up with nothing, and even then what nothing he has, still people harass him about it.
But then, Maharaj, we can say that if it is karma, means that's what you deserve. And
yeah, if you're talking material, that's what you get for it.
So you can't really complain about it.
And if we're talking about spiritual, then means Krishna has some plan. Why is he arranging it? You've done so much, but he's not giving you any. Why not? Because what will happen if he does give you? Because you're looking at, I put in the thing, where's my result? What result do you expect? You know, what is it you're looking for? I have nothing. What is this something you want? You know?
Yeah.
It says, are you eating? Every day do you eat? You know, do you have clothes? Like that. Is there air to breathe? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that what are they looking for? You know, after 25 years of sincere service and devotional service, everyone should own a 5-star hotel. You know, you say, what do they mean by I have nothing? What's nothing? You know what I'm saying?
No position, no money, no family, no nothing.
Yeah, but since when the person walked in the door, did we say, join this society because then you'll have fabulous family, position, and money? No. We said you'll develop devotion. Yeah, but if you're worried about what material facilities you have based on Krishna consciousness, how will that devotion develop? Because the point is that the money is for what? What will the soul do with money? Or position? Or even family? What does the soul do with it? So the only way the soul gets benefited is if all those things are connected to the Lord. So they have had money to use for serving the Lord. So when they say, I don't have anything, then what's that got to do with devotion? Because the point is there's a good chance that, you know, tens of thousands of whatever it is they're dealing in have gone through their hands in service to the Lord. So they did have money to serve the Lord. They did have association and, you know, a community to serve the Lord with. They did have a position that they're part of this community serving Krishna. So they have all that. But if they're expecting that they're going to have something on their own, then how does that work? You know, if you're saying, well, I did full-time service, but then that means you're committed. It's like this. Any of the great saintly personalities in religious history, whatever it may be, did at the end of their life get, you know, what do I got? Can you imagine that? Okay, we're standing at the border of Canaan, right? We're sitting on a mountain there, right? And you're watching all the Israelites walking into the promised land, right? And then you're going to go, I gave my whole life. I went up on the mountain. I had to, you know, see God, you know, as the terrible form of God, you know, from his back. And I had to talk with the fire, and I had to do this and that, and I had to deal with the Pharaoh and all these things. I mean, this is insane. And what do I have for it? Right? I'm just a, you know, schmo that stands outside here while everybody goes into the promised land. What did I get? You know, where's my pension fund? You know, where's my retirement plan? Where's... Right? So people still appreciate Moses today because he didn't say that. He said that. Then there's a good chance that we wouldn't even know who he was. So what did any of them get? So the point is you take that path. That's what goes with the path. You can't say, no, I'm going to be the great renunciate and this and that, but at the same time, at the end of it, I'm going to be a billionaire. How is that going to work? And the thing is on the material platform, if they had put in the same endeavor that they did in Krishna consciousness, how much money would they have? If they went out, started a business, or worked for somebody, how much money would they have? You know what I'm saying? Because the guy that's successful generally wouldn't say that. Because the point is he'll make it. If I don't have money in my pockets because I didn't get it. So where's this thing at the handout? So that means you wouldn't have had it anyway. So you have that. That's the thing, is that if you get down to it, that mundane can get a little stark. But at the same time is, okay, did you put in, okay, 8 hours a day? Then how much time to go to work and come back? What's the average? At least an hour and back. So 10 hours a day fully absorbed in doing something for Krishna consciousness, other than your morning and evening program, because that's in your personal life. So did they put in 10 hours a day? That's another thing. You know, some do, some don't. Like that. But the point is, this one will get the results in the spiritual platform. But one has to be aware of it, appreciate it. You know, it's just like if I come and plunk down on the table a whole stack of, you know, colored paper with faces on it. If you don't know what it is, then you'll say, what's this? You're cluttering up my desk. You know. So that's the thing. You have to know what the benefit is to be able to. But yeah, let's come on. But the problem is if you want all that facility, there's only one small problem. You have to stay in the material world to get it.
It's all going to be taken away from you anyway.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's the fine print. We don't talk too loud about that. Is that okay? So in other words, according to the mentality, this is just the facts, but you know, according to who you're discussing it with, then you use various presentations that will be appreciated.
All those leaders who left the movement with golden parachutes, so they...
Wait a minute. Can we just back up here? What's your whole point? Just before you ask the question, what's your purpose? What's your purpose?
Verify what you said earlier.
No. What is the purpose? Why do you want to verify? What is the purpose?
I understood correctly.
You understood correctly. But then when did I mention golden parachute? When did I do that? This sounds very, very political, and very much from the intellectual platform of working on isms and justice and morality, so very, very slightly intellectual, slightly middle class, slightly modern, pranamoy. It does not sound like a question that a Vaishnava would ever ask. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know which personalities you're talking about. The ones I know that left, what did they go out with? All of Bhagawan's cashmere sweaters stayed, you know, in whatever it was, the building that they were sitting in. That's because devotees gave it to him, his own disciples. It didn't come out of the movement. So you got one. But that was arranged when the disciples wanted to take care, because they figured he did so much service. All that helped them so much, so they got money, they give him something. But how is that a golden parachute? What does this mean, golden parachute? Are you a corporate guy? Is this a Vaishya question? Are you here as representing the League of Vaishyas that, you know, we want these golden... What does that mean, golden parachute? It's a fancy name for saying we're going to give you some money that doesn't match whatever work you've done. That's the term, golden parachute. It's just take the money and get out of here because we don't want to deal with you. That's why it's called golden parachute.
But I understand that. So the wrong word. Sorry.
Yeah, the whole wrong approach. Yeah. What does that mean, golden parachute? You want a golden parachute? Is that why you feel bad?
No.
Don't you feel bad that the person got a golden parachute instead of pure love of God? So how is a golden parachute, how is that something special? You know what I'm saying?
My question isn't that. Was it then not devotional service if they got some money?
The point is Vaishnavas give it to them then.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? What's that? You have to avoid the political questions. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you just ruin the mood. The other day, we were developing this nice thing, going to elements of rasa. And between yourself and one other devotee, you completely destroyed it. So now, you know, the point is then it came to mind, is that's why it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because you can't bring it up earlier. And then when we talk this other stuff, everyone gets bored. So whoever's left will discuss some rasa, you know, in the last 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise this political stuff like this is very, very unpalatable. The point is like this. Prabhupada's point was, you do how much service they've done, then you make a comment. And except for a handful of devotees on this planet, no one's done what Harikesha's done. In the way of putting together the BBT, the book distribution, no one's arranged to distribute more books than him, develop the BBT more than him, print in more languages than him.
So Prabhupada said, most important grandest offer to feel Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
Yeah, and so then we're going to talk about golden parachutes? You have to be really, really careful. It means if you want to destroy your own personal devotional service, then you walk down that path. That means you don't even know what devotional service is. What does it matter? A little money here. What does it matter? We're talking about illusion anyway. How much illusion? There's a mirage there. Okay, he got more of the mirage than I got. This is unfair. And people say, no, but what are they? They're all an illusion. Every last one of them. So who can talk? Who can make a complaint? Someone who's done like what he's done. You know? And the sad part is the ones you're talking about are all the ones that could complain. Rameshwar walked out of the door, didn't take a paisa with him. Bhagawan also, Bhavananda, he had something that they had with him. It disappeared very quickly. The devotees took care of him. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about some loose change in your pocket, and this is a big thing to you? Now what are we dealing with? What class of society are we dealing with? The point is there no gratefulness that these persons did so much? So if they did, it's not good. It's not the ideal. But what is ideal that the Vaishnavas are doing? How many are following the etiquette properly? Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have to get a taste from something other than issues. Otherwise, your life's going to be really, really sad. You know what I'm saying? You have to find something else other than issues. Because it's the same standard issues, the same chewing, the same chewed. The same old things. You know, authority, money, you know, who's in control, apasampradayic stuff. Stuff we're not even supposed to worry about. But that becomes the issue, the burning issues of how can you go on without this. You have to find something else. Otherwise, you'll become very frustrated. Okay.
Okay, so here that means that the achintya tattva, avichintya tattva, means that other than this pure devotional service, nothing's going to please him because he already has it in conceivable powers. What's standing on your toes for, 100 years going, how is that going to impress him? Text 35. Bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who creates tens of millions of universes by just one of his energies, right? From Ramadevi, who holds a multitude of universes within himself, and who is simultaneously situated within every atom within the universe. This verse further elaborates Krishna's inconceivable powers. All pervasiveness is only a localized aspect of the majesty of Krishna. The Lord of all, although he is all pervasive, yet in his existence everywhere, in a medium shape, consists his spiritual lordship beyond human conception. This argument favors the doctrine of simultaneous inconceivable distinction and non-distinction, and knocks down the contaminating Mayavada and other allied doctrines, Brahma Samhita 535 purport. As evidence for Krishna's unlimited potency, Jiva Goswami cites the examples of Brahma's bewilderment beholding unlimited Purusha avatars in place of cowherd boys, and also Mother Yashoda seeing the multitude of universes within her child's mouth. Yes.
Previous point, the tune.
Okay.
So many yogis and people from during previous ages, they all tried to impress Krishna with this with the austerity, whatever the past recommends. Why are they avoiding love of God?
It's lack of association. It means, in other words, bhakti comes from bhakti. You'll get bhakti from association. That's the only way. Because the scriptures will mention it, but one won't understand what it means until one has experienced it by the association of devotees. Therefore, the importance of parampuramis and devotees. So it's all about expressing affection for Krishna in the association of devotees. That's the bottom line on everything. That's what we're trying to get to. So that you're using austerities or penances or yajnas or whatever you're using that the Vedas are recommending, that's fine. But they're only mediums for pure devotion. Does that make sense? Therefore, they're glorious because they can do those things. Right? We can't do those things. They can do those things. So we have to respect. Because to do that, they have to have great focus, determination, good qualities, piety, knowledge. All these things they have to have to be able to function in these modes of goodness. But at the same time, it still, no matter how wonderful, it still falls short of the results you can get from bhakti. And bhakti is so wonderful that despite our having good qualities, it can still function because it's independent. And then naturally, by functioning that, eventually you start to develop the good qualities. So you become qualified. So bhakti allows you to take part, at the same time bhakti makes you qualified. I just saw a stone, it looks like that front piece over there. So sitting on the grass. Does that make sense? Okay, so that, okay, all pervasive, only a localized aspect of the majesty of Krishna. So even though he's all pervading, he's still doing that as Parama in the personal teaching. Right? But it's localized because it's just that aspect there in this spot or that spot. This atom or that atom.
So we're not considering the pastimes and everything about it, because it's the same person who's situated everywhere. It's not that there's different paramatmas. There's one person situated everywhere. So his pastimes are happening on the, you know, Hirudak ocean. He has all his associates there. So that is Bhagavan. That's Kirudakshai Vishnu as Bhagavan. But as Paramatma, then he's localized and then he's expanded throughout the universe. You know, does that make sense? We ruined the mood before, or something. We ruined the mood before. Everyone's become very sober.
Yeah, it was a sobering moment. It was good.
Okay. Yeah, but the point is we always have to be careful when we're dealing with devotees. We can't not be careful. Because, I mean, we, due to lack of training, are not careful, but then we'll get the reaction to that. That's the thing. So we have to be very, very careful. At least in our moments of clarity, we should be more careful. That we shouldn't present our these qualities, just covering it by kind of intellectualism. You know, it sounds good. But, you know, the whole world's running off of the idea that pranamoya is good. But actually, the question was there, it's about pranamoya. Because it's a corporate point. You know, so that means it's pranamoya. Okay, text 36, Krishna's mercy. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, whom men praise with Vedic verses, Nigama Shuktai. After having fixed their minds on him with devotion, and consequently having obtained glorious forms, thrones, vehicles, and ornaments by his mercy. The previous four verses dealt with the Lord's infinite power. The theme of this verse, however, is the Lord's mercy and loving reciprocation with the devotees, Jiva Goswami relates. This verse speaks of the mercy that the Lord shows to various devotees practicing various sadhanas. Though the verse refers to devotees attracted to the Lord's grandeur, Brahma hints that the Lord will award the pure devotee much more. Just as those who practice meditation on the qualities, character, age, pastimes, and clothing of the cowherd boys attain similar forms and destinations, it is fitting that those who constantly recite the Vedas attain goals similar to the contents of their recitation. You know, because, in other words, if you're talking about Krishna and Braj, it's natural that one will therefore attain Krishna and Braj. That's the natural position. Inimical kings like Shishupal, Pundrika, and Salva were always thinking about Lord Krishna, even while they were lying down, sitting, or engaged in other activities. They enviously meditated upon the bodily movements of the Lord, his sporting pastimes, his loving glances upon his devotees, and other attractive features displayed by the Lord. Being thus always absorbed in Krishna, they achieved spiritual liberation in the Lord's own abode. What then can be said of the benedictions offered to those who constantly fix their minds on Lord Krishna in a favorable, loving mood? And so just being absorbed in the Lord, then you'll get benefit. You know, so how much benefit will be there if you're, it's positive? Yes?
In this, that the devotees will attain glorious forms, thrones, vehicles, it's kind of a different mood.
Yeah, because it's in majesty. That's the whole point. That's why we're not interested in that.
Not even for us. I'm talking about Lord Brahma.
No, he's mentioning that that's how they get them. Like that.
So it's an explanation, then?
It's an explanation about the demigods who they offer prayers to the Lord so that they can maintain all these things. Right? In other words, the demigods, they do all their position and worship the Lord so that they can maintain their position. So that's kind of what we open with, is we're trying to avoid that. We're not doing these things because they will give us position. Right? And facility. Facility, and they come just on the side. Why do we say on the side? Because we're talking about the whole material world is a millionth of a millionth portion of the Lord's potency. Right? And so, and that's the whole, that's Mahatattva. So you can imagine how little potency is here, you know, in the guy's, you know, stretch limo. Right? It's not a lot. Of course, we're impressed, but, you know, it's still not much. Right? So, therefore, these things to the Lord are not special, because what are you getting? You're getting a specific localized thing. If I'm worshiping the Lord for the specifics, okay, let's say it's money. Let's say what's the maximum a human being could get in the way of facilities? Money, facility, what position?
Emperor of the world.
That's as good as it gets. Right? Basically. You know, you have the power, you have the money, right?
Influence.
You'd have to have a bit of knowledge to be able to do that, you know, throw that in. So that's the maximum you can get. So that's one planet amongst 14 planetary systems. So we're talking about big systems. When they look at people, look out there in their little, you know, what do you call it? Those big magnifying glass things?
Telescopes,
yeah. So then they see all these planetary systems that completely boggle their mind. You know? So like that, there's a lot going on. So now you get sovereignty over one of those, one little planet, amongst all these thousands or millions of planets. And that's within the smallest universe out of unlimited universes. So that's what you can get on one side. The other side is you can get God, who is everything. So when Krishna gives himself, means he's given everything. So there's nothing more valuable than getting that loving reciprocation with the Lord. Is that? Yes.
This verse was talking about Shishupal. Today we have like a sect of neo-atheists, very militant people who decry God and have declared war on religion, more or less. So do they get any benefit from constantly thinking about how God
is? But how are they thinking? They're only thinking of God in the Brahman platform.
Yeah.
And even that, they don't have much knowledge. So they'll definitely get some benefit from that. But at the same time, as they'll get the reaction for. It means Shishupal, did he maintain his kingdom?
No.
Did he maintain his life? Right. So in other words, they will, on the material platform, lose everything. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it's because they only understand an impersonal form of, you know, aspect of the Lord. And even that, they're decrying. Mm-hmm. So they'll basically end up with not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Because they're misusing all their senses, their intelligence, everything like that. So, you know, therefore, blades of grass or, you know, stones, you know, these are the natural resultant verse for such persons. Like Prabhupada mentions, after living any falls from the Brahman platform, the next birth is grass. You know? Yeah, because no form. Right?
Yeah.
So therefore, then you're a blade of grass. You know, so blades of grass will just pop up on the sidewalks. And some of these devotees would think they're Maya bodies. So they'd walk down the street, if there's a blade of grass, they go step on it. Step on the heads of the Maya bodies. Get blessed with the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that will. It's just an annoyance, because the problem is that they think like that, okay. But the problem, because they talk, then people who are innocent can get swayed by them. And who could become God conscious may be reluctant. Mm-hmm. That's the bad part about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that individual wants to think what he wants, okay. You know, sad for what to do. Mm-hmm. But it's when they preach, if they're militant about it, then that's a problem. And the difficulty is that they're militant because of the inappropriate effects they've seen from the institutional running of religious institutions or movements. Mm-hmm. But the problem is if they're going to organize themselves, they'll have to establish the same thing, and they'll do exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because the point is if you wouldn't do it, then you wouldn't be worried about it. You know, people only worry about others with power misusing it because they themselves, if they got into that position of power, they misuse it.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like that, but what's the duty? What's the actual position? Okay, they're saying it's bad, but what's so? What do you replace it? What's the real thing? What should be people be doing?
Science.
Huh?
Science.
Yeah, but, you know, so is there militant science? You know, you can militantly go about looking into your petri dish, you know, with all kinds of anger and, you know, all that. No, you have to sit there very peacefully and look in the petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So their method won't get at what they talk about. So therefore, what's the point? What's the use? They say make people aware. Yes, but aware of what? You made them aware, but aware of what? Nothing. You haven't actually benefited them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like people are there and they don't know and they're, you know, weak and falling on the ground and can't stand up. So then I make them aware that they're hungry. And that's the real reason for their problem. So how have I benefited them? I didn't give them food. So why make them aware? Now, as it is now, they think everything's normal. But then if I make it that they're aware, then and now that food, now what do? There is no food. So unless you can you produce food, then what's the point? You know, it just makes you feel good that I'm doing something special. I've done something. I've benefited. So it's still totally self-centered. It's not that they care about the public at all. The militancy is for their own flavor, their own taste. And since it is individual, not everybody would be interested in that kind of endeavor. Therefore, why are these militant groups always small? Just very few people want to be involved in that level. So it's not about the public, it's about themselves. And this is just how they like to situate themselves. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, in discussing rasa, we meet with five kinds of devotion or service. Shanta, or unattached. Dasi, or pertaining to reverential willing service. Shakya, right, so it means willing service, but it's done with that reverence, right? Shakya, or friendship. Vatsalya, parental love. And Shringar, or juvenile love. Right? So it's that juvenile because it's young, it's fresh, it's new. Right. You know, we're not talking about, you know, middle-aged, you know, yeah, we're not talking about a middle-aged affair here. We're talking about juvenile love, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
The shanta, unattached, does that mean unattached to doing something to please the Lord?
It's just they appreciate the Lord. So it's unattached or not attached to the Lord. But they'll always be thinking about. But it's unattached to doing anything or in other words, you appreciate it, but it never comes up that I should do something to express this appreciation. Right? Because if that comes, then that's shanta.
Yes.
Right? Dasya. I mean, dasya, yeah. And then when that goes, mature, it deepens, then it goes into to ashakya. That more deep then into vatsalya, more deep into shringa. Right? So that's the thing, is that they're devotees, on one level, in that they appreciate the Lord. So it's favorable, their appreciation. But it's not that that expression is any more than just the appreciation.
But that appreciation, that would be constant?
Yes. Yeah, like that. But that's why in some cases, when you're talking about Goloka, then Rupa Goswami doesn't, he only basically defines four rasas. You know, and then in Braj, you're specifically talking about three, because that's what drives the whole thing. So those in servitorship and shanta, then they're simply assisting these other three. The main leelas happen with, you know, the cowherd, you know, I say men and women, boys and girls. Right? So they're all friends, parents, or lovers. And then the assistant, then the other two rasas are assisting those three. Well, let's say in Vaikuntha, then everything is about servitorship and shanta. Predominance, of course, is servitorship, but shanta is very prominent there, and is not at all an unappreciated position. Like that. So that's the difference between, you could say, between Vaikuntha and Goloka, is the prominence of the first two rasas, and then Goloka, the prominence of the second, the last three. Yeah. Yes.
So the higher three include the dasya, just without the reverential aspect. Reverential.
No, but then he'll, when he talks about four, he's talking about that in Vrindavan. Yeah. Because, yeah. In other words, if you're talking in majesty, of course, then all five are there. But the prominence would be at this end and not at that end. Mm-hmm. Just like in the Dwarka pastimes, then the prominence is not the relationship of Krishna with the queens. It comes up. It's there, and no one has a problem with it. But it's not a prominence. Right? You'll hear more about, let's say, you know, Uddhava and Maharaj Ugrasena and, you know, this kind of personalities. Mm-hmm. And those kind of activities. Balaram. And mm-hmm. That becomes more prominent there. It drops down, but it's more than Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. Like that. But in Vrindavan, then it's all about Mother Jashoda and the cowherd girls, cowherd boys. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In other words, the servants are doing things. But who are the servants serving? Yeah, in other words, basically those in the parental rasa have servants. And mm-hmm. so their servants take care of assisting in their service to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, the devotee in the servitor rasa is their service. But it's still they're rendering that service under generally the parental rasa. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the Shakya and the Shanta will basically be connected there also. Because the cows and the land are connected to Nanda Baba. Mm-hmm. You know, it's his place. He's the king.
What about when we hear of like the wind and the trees and the fruits and the flowers? They're all...
It's all Shanta.
But they're all actively, you know, endeavoring to serve Krishna by blowing favorable breezes his way. And
then maybe the element of... But it's all Sandini potency.
Yeah.
So Yoga Maya is arranging all that. So it's part of her service. Mm-hmm. Right, so, see, so we're talking about these aspects of these rasas in relationship to jivas. Mm-hmm. But there, what you're talking about, those aren't jivas. Those living entities are expansions of the Sandini potency. Mm-hmm. So she creates all those, she expanses all those living entities. Then maybe a jiva, if they like, can take up and take that position. You know, if someone wants to be a tree in Vrindavan, they can be. But the general principle is these are all internal potency. Right? So that's just not, because the point is if you're going to have a pastime with Ladini, you have to have a place to do it in. Right? So if you want, so therefore you arrange the situation. Right? In other words, Yogamaya arranges the situation. Then Krishna and the devotees, they interact in that situation, and then that love of Krishna is tasted. You understand? So to arrange a situation, then you need a lot of, you know, facility. And all that facility in the spiritual world is conscious. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes that point in Dasamu. Okay. In one of them. Dasamu Tattva, Dasamu Niryas, you know, like one of those. The devotees surcharged with the ideas of their respective service serve Krishna eternally and ultimately reach the goal of their respective ideals. They attain the real nature of their self befitting their respective rasas. Their glories, conveyances, seats fitting their sacred service and transcendental qualities of ornaments enhancing the beauty of their real nature. So you see we have a dual element here. Is that here it means the Jiva Goswami, it means, how you say? And the demigods are what's being talked about on one level, because that's the obvious. But the other aspect is that all devotees, because of their service to Krishna and their minds being fixed on Krishna and their service, they attain that position in which they are absorbed. Mm-hmm. So then they get all the facilities that go along with that, mm-hmm. you know? So then they have that place, right? My Nanda Baba, he has his palace, you know, situated in Vrindavan. He has his vehicles, right? His bullock carts, You know, he has his ornaments and everything else that he wears, you know. So all that comes up is that this is all facility for doing a service. Now, if one's worshiping the Lord without, then he gets that same facility, but within the material sphere. Right? Like the demigods. But if it's done in devotion, then you get it in the spiritual world, and it's used in service to Krishna. Well, here, it'll be service to Krishna, but then, so then the point comes back to, you know, where we started, is that then the point is if they did have money and facility, would they use it for Krishna? Right? So that's the question, is you know, if they had it, will they use it? And if they, so then are they better situated devotionally by not having it? In other words, if I give, and the person gives up devotional service, what's the point of that? Therefore, then it may be to keep one in devotional service, you don't get it. Or it's just the whole process, because we're taking part in the pastime, things take time. Right? If the person just, you know, one day had nothing and then the next day had everything, then people would say, oh, well, that you know, he's in a different category. But if you show how someone works and then makes it happen, then you think, yes, I can do this. Right? You know, Prabhupada worked on putting together the magazines, writing his books, then, you know, trying to find people who are willing to give money and things to so just so he could go to America. Right? And then getting there, then trying to make things and establish things, and then slowly, slowly developing. Then we can think, yes, if we put in the endeavor, I could do this. Maybe not to that degree, but it, in other words, it's an example that I could do, I could relate to. Right? But if it just happens suddenly, then... So there's also the thing that Krishna will happen when he likes. Because if we're doing our activities to please Krishna, then Krishna will take care of us as we please. Because the idea is that, what is the real retirement plan? What's the ultimate retirement plan?
After life insurance.
Yeah. Forget about the life insurance. Afterlife insurance. So that means if you remember Krishna at the time of death and go back to Godhead, then you know you've got an eternal pension.
The benefits are out of this world.
Definitely out of this world. Yeah, out of the heart. Is that makes sense? So that's the real thing. So then, that's why we don't worry so much here. We make our endeavor according to our duties, right? You know, the householder is performing his duties to do things, save money, do all the different things like that. That's why Rupa Goswami mentioned 25% is emergency. So did that devotee who's complained, did they put away 25%? Good chance no. Okay, so then whose fault is that, you know? So that's supposed to be, that's emergency. Then there's on your running fund, you're not supposed to spend the whole thing. You're supposed to spend only, you're supposed to keep 25% of that. Because in regular daily running, things come up that are out of the ordinary. Then you have big things that come up that that's what the other fund's for. So that's just, that's the recommendation. Everybody's heard those proportions. Right? So then these things help. Because of course you can get more, but then ultimately do you? That's the point. So the other takes longer, but it's more solid. And then...
So we're going for the Chintamani parachute.
The Chintamani parachute, yeah. We got the goal, we're going for the Chintamani parachute, yeah. Yes. Yeah, so then the meeting then, you know, there's a, you know, the secretary goes around and puts a little envelope in front of everybody there. So this is your Chintamani parachute, like that. You open it and there's chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It works good on both places, right?
Yeah, you can't complain.
Yeah, you can't complain. Okay, so we see, so that's the underlying principle. This is the underlying principle, is that however one worships Krishna, that's the position one will attain.
So if you worship with pure devotion, then one will attain that. And then within the specifics of the pure devotion, then we're worshipping in the mood, following the footsteps of the residents of Braja. So then that will obtain there. Does that make sense? Okay. They attain the real nature of their self, befitting their respective rasas, right? The self means the particular form. Their glories, right? What's unique about the devotee? Because every living entity is unique, otherwise, what's the point? Right? Why have unlimited expansions of devotees if they're not unique? If they're all the same, then what's the point? Right? So in other words, they're not a virus or something, right? Okay. Conveyances, seats befitting their sacred service, and transcendental qualities of ornaments, enhancing the beauty of their real nature. Those who are advocates of Shantaras attain the region of Brahma Paramatma, the seat of eternal peace. Those of Dasaras get to Dasyarasa, get to Vaikuntha, the spiritual majestic abode of Sri Narayana. Those of Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya Rasa, my juvenile love, attain Golokdham, Krishna's abode above Vaikuntha. So even if they're in the other rasas, it means that it's still connected with those. Like we said, is the servitorship is connected with the parental. Like that. They worship Krishna by the shuktas depicted in the Vedas with the ingredients and objects befitting their respective rasas in those regions.
Right. So can we say that our rasa is defined by the parampara of the joint?
Yes, you could say, but or what it will accommodate, because it's like for us as Gaudiyas, as a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, we can also accommodate those who want to go to Vaikuntha. They'll just get there easier and quicker than by using other paths.
So it's not a problem. People want to go to Vaikuntha, it's fine.
No, but it's just since the other's available, why not take advantage? Because if you're interested in servitorship, you can also serve in Golok.
Right.
Why in servitorship go to Vaikuntha? You could do the same. So if that's right, you could do that in Goloka. But if you're interested, that's fine. It's not a problem for us. So that's why in dealing with different Vaishnavas from different lines, then the discussion is still the same about Krishna. You don't argue over which place is better and this and that. That's not the point. The point is over the common point. The difference is the place. The common is Krishna. So that's what you can discuss, and everybody will be happy. It's nice. Right. So then we see here is the essence of the Vedas we see is the Bhagavatam. And then the Bhagavatam has so many wonderful prayers, and then the Acharyas, based on those prayers, then had come up with, you know, they extended those prayers and their basic songs and poetry. So these are more predominantly our shuktas. Right? So then chanting those, like here, this Brahma Samhita, this, or prayers by Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath or Raghunath, this. 37. The gopis and the 64 arts. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Vista Virya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabi Goloka Eva Nivisatya Kilatma Bhuto Govindam Ari Purusham Tamaham Vijani. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, Nijarupataya, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidant, Shakis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever-blissful spiritual rasa. Krishna relates to us in proportion to our surrender. In the previous verse, we heard what kinds of benedictions accrue to one who chants Krishna's praises, or even one who meditates on Krishna inimically. Now, according to Jiva Goswami, we learn of the highest limit of surrender. Quote, how much more than Govinda will reward his dearest devotees, the gopis? This verse describes how he lives exclusively with the dear women in his private place. Right? So Braj is his private place. Right? It means Vaikuntha is the office. right? Like that. Though he continuously treats all other inhabitants of Goloka with intense love, regarding them as his very self, he resides only with the gopis. This shows their exalted position. Right? So therefore, he's known as... what is it? I got the wrong song. Using that Rupa Goswami's Radhamadava. No, that's Bhakti Vinodika.
Yeah.
Is there is that he lives next to the Jamuna.
Jamuna
Chiri. Yeah. So that's where he lives. So where and who's in the who's living there? Who is he living there with? The gopis. Right. Because the cowherd boys, they go back home. Krishna's at home and he leaves to go stay with them. So where actually is home? Where is he living? He doesn't actually technically live with Mother Yashoda or Nandabai. Right? Or the cowherd boys. He lives with the gopis. So that's so. Everyone else, he's there because of the interaction, their affection, and he very much appreciates, like you said here, with intense love. But regarding them as very self, he resides only with the gopis.
Also, there's the aspect, no matter where he is, he's always thinking about them.
Anyway, about the gopis. So even though he's there, maybe there in bed sleeping with Rukmini, when he's dreaming, he's talking about Radharani. And it's not that, you know, it's not a one-off occasion, so she's kind of had to learn to live with this. You know, so they know. They just know the position of the gopis, just like Bhishma Dev knows. So they also know. But being devotees, they're just happy to be able to... That he's accepting them as his wives and living there with them and everything. Mm-hmm. But in reality, he's residing with the gopis. Yes? No? Okay. Mm-hmm. He's just fans. Okay. Yeah, that's a great fan. Wait a minute. It's a fan.
Very good question.
Okay. Shanti has a new tell.
Making a beat.
Yeah. Okay. Great question. Yes, again. This shows their exalted position. The reason is given. They are personifications of his Ladini Shakti. Further excellence is shown. Govinda is rasa filled with spiritual bliss. This refers to Madhurya rasa, filled with the highest type of prema. This is also their corresponding nature, right? Because Ladini, that's the thing. He is infused with conjugal rasa for them, and they in response, prati, are also infused with similar feelings to the same degree. Thus he lives constantly with them. Right? So even if he is wakeful state. Why did Prabhupada call the deities in Delhi Radha Partha Sarati? Right? In other words, he's driving the chariot. How much potency does it take? How much of him as the Supreme Lord, the total encompassing nature of everything, take to drive a chariot on a battlefield? Yeah, okay. So then what is he going to think about? He thinks about the gopis. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Radha Partha Sarati, in other words, he's there with Partha. So he's driving his chariot, so that's the wonderfulness, but at the same time, he's only absorbed in thinking of the residents of Vrindavan. Okay? So that makes sense. So just as a side point, would we appreciate that, you know, one would need to be a rasik to have seen the deities in that way and named them that way?
Yeah.
Okay. So therefore, one should be very careful when one bumps into others that say, that, you know, since one is part of Sarati with Radharani, that means they're not as rasik as they make themselves out to be.
And maybe don't even understand the greatness of God.
Yeah.
Doing that at the same time.
Yeah. Point is that it doesn't take luck, because it's his energy. He desires. He could be sitting in his tent, you know, with a, you know, say, sipping a pina colada, and the chariot would be driving itself around. Is that what you're supposed to be thinking? Okay, whatever. It was winter, so maybe that wouldn't be the right drink, but whatever.
Yeah.
Herbal tea.
Herbal tea, okay. Yes.
organic.
Also, there's many verses in Gita which can be read according to the Acharyas to actually signify his feelings of separation from the gopis.
Yes.
So they haven't really studied those. Hmm? They haven't studied those either.
No, that's it. The whole point is that because the one only studies one side, and the other group studies the other. The problem is that the Acharyas, they know the whole range.
Yeah.
So therefore they can see each and the other. Because they're interdependent.
Mm-hmm.
Like we say, tattva means rasa. So the highest point of rasa means they're balanced with the most technical points of tattva. Right? So in other words, the higher it is, the more it becomes, entomological, or epistemological, right? It becomes that, because those things are just the basis of things. That's the basis on that side. So it's more, as you get closer to the middle, the difference is less. But as you go higher in the rasa, or more deeply into the tattva, then it means that it has its match in the rasa. So like that, it works. So the Acharyas, then you see, that's why sometimes when they're explaining something, they may use one term from one thing and another from another.
Yeah.
Because they're not seeing that difference. Yes.
Just another point, even Bhishma Dev, he can think of Krishna in his relationship with the gopis, so what to speak of Krishna himself? Why can't he?
Yeah, and Bhishma Dev's on the bed of arrows, not the most comfortable, appropriate, but not necessarily comfortable. For those curious about the supreme abode and the divine exchange of rasa between its inhabitants, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur provides a privileged glimpse. First, however, he gives some background in rasa tattva. The vibhava extension of that rasa, mellow quality, is twofold. Namely, alambana, prop. Okay, prop meaning as in a prop.
Stage prop.
Yeah, okay. Alambana and prop, because it's pastime, so it's a prop, right? Never thought of it. And udipan, stimulation. It means that you're going to have the alambana, the element, and then the udipan is that you're going to become stimulated from these. Of these, alambana is twofold, namely, ashraya, support, and vishraya, supporter. Right? Because then you have the prop, but then you have the person who's viewing it and who the prop belongs to. Like you say, Krishna's flute. So that's the prop. But then you have the ashray, which is the devotee seeing the flute, and Krishna is the vishay, who is the owner of the flute, who the flute's connected to. Ashray signifies Radhika herself and the extensions of her own form, and vishay means Krishna himself. Krishna is Govinda, Lord of Goloka. The gopis are the facsimile ashraya of that rasa. With them, Krishna indulges in eternal pastimes in Goloka. Nija Rupataya means with the attributes manifested from the ecstatic energy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta then shows how the ecstatic energy manifests itself in the 64 activities in fine arts and crafts listed on the next page. Ah, they are listed. Okay. All these arts manifesting their own eternal forms are ever visible in the regions of Goloka as the ingredients of rasa. Right? So that's the point of the 64 arts, is that they're ingredients of rasa. They are bases for people to interact. Because right? In other words, the rasa is there, but then the point is to express that, then you have to have props, and activities where you're using them. Right? And so the point is it's always connected to Krishna as the Vishaya, and it's always engaged by the devotee, the Ashraya. Right? And in the mundane sphere, they have been unstintedly exhibited in the pastimes of Braja by the spiritual chit potency, Yoga Maya. Right? So in the mundane sphere, that means here the pastimes are used. So we see is that the 64 are used both there and here.
The divine sport of potency fills the hearts of his paraphernalia. What happened at the end of that sentence? Oh, I see. This is just a separate list. With appropriate spiritual sentiments, in conformity with the will of Krishna. Right? So the divine sport of potency fills the hearts of his paraphernalia with appropriate spiritual sentiments in conformity with the will of Krishna. So that's the vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. Or with the attributes manifest from the ecstatic energy. So nija rupa daya. Right, so then Radharani is the devotee. She is the ashray. Krishna is the vishay. Then all of her extensions, all of her expansions, then they're imbued with that same flavor according to their particular position to take part in the pastime and engage these different props or these different arts in Krishna's service. Oh, okay. I was thinking we'd say it on the same page again. Okay, so Jiva. Okay. Okay. So let's look at the 64 arts. Okay, so the 64 arts. So basically, is that these 64? 64 is a number. It means that there's you can have so many arts, but 64 is the standard designation. You know, it's just like we say 108 gopis. There's millions of them, but 108. You know, represents the position. So basically it means you have 64 that is prominent according to whatever is your situation. Then all other finer ones are all connected to these. Uh-huh. Right, you know, here, the art of singing. So that would mean then singing like that, voice culture, anything like that, knowing the ragas, knowing that, all that. So you can take that and it can just be one. Or if you're, let's say, you're a singer, you might have more there. And then some area where you're not, it'll be less.
Does that make sense?
But we'll see as we go through is that more ones come up. So you are to sing. So all these, as he mentioned, are therefore for. Conformity with the will of Krishna. They're all the same. The art of playing on musical instruments, right? Because if you're going to sing, then you need to have some backup, right? It adds to the thing. The art of dancing. Right? So then if you dance along with the singing and the instruments, then it's better. The art of theatrics, so that one can, do nice little things and plays and stuff like that, or, you know, play different things. The art of painting, right? So that it's just the, you know, whatever it is, from the simplest study of, you know, the calligraphy up to, you know, the painting of the forms of the Lord, like we see is, there's the pastime where that, I forget what her name is, she was, had saw in a dream, Usha, right? Yeah, Prajumna. And so then her friend, because she knew the art of painting, then she was painting all it says. This
Chitraleka.
Yeah. So then all these things, and you know, until found the one that was him, you know, like that. That's a good painter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the art of painting the face and body with colored unguents and cosmetics. Right, so be able to do that would include like your means one, putting on tilak, you know, it's an art, you know, you can put it on so it's basically done or it actually looks nice, you know, like that. Then you have the the different cosmetics, the eyeliner, mehendi, you know, these different things that are there. And so all these can be used, you can see, for Krishna. So most of these you can see we can apply into the deity worship. That's where we'll use a lot of them. Right? But at the same time, as they're also connected with the devotee community.
Tattoos not included.
Who?
Tattoos.
Tattoos. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's just that Govinda Maharaj with his what do you call it? Arisen accent. Then tattva, he would say tattoo. So he said tattoo, and I was thinking tattva. You mean no, but the tattva is no. This is the, you know, the arts, you know. Tattoos, no. Because then the point is that you're stuck with them. See, the mehendi, you can put it on, and then after 3 weeks, you can put on something totally different. So you can add, it has a variety. Well, the tattoos, you kind of stuck with them. Therefore, they just keep adding tattoos until there's no place anymore.
They take a new body. So you take birth again.
Yeah, well, generally, because if you do tattoo the whole body in that, then some other jacuzzi is going to, you know, at some point shoot you. So then you get another body. So it works out like that. Okay. Art of painting the... Okay, okay. The art of preparing offerings from rice and flowers. So then that can either be... I think the decorations will come up later. But then just how to make things nicely. They're looking... You can... It means there may be various things within this, like in when they do the theatrics in Kerala. That face, you see they have that big face, that's done with rice. It's actually rice. I think it's, I'm not sure if the rice is cooked or they take rice flour and cook, but it's actually rice and they make that whole thing and build it all up.
The mask?
The mask is rice. No. So it's actually not put on, it's connected to their face. You know, so I mean, these are ways because they go with theatrics and you know this whole fine thing.
I was thinking this might mean Rangoli.
I'm not sure that there's not another one. It could also mean that, but I know of.
Okay.
It comes up to maybe not here. So in that case, then it's also that you take rice flour and either dry or wet, you make designs. You know, on the floor, the walls, and then decorate with flowers, and so you make a very nice, beautiful environment. So that's what I'm meaning is that. In these arts, the Vedic concept is you connect everything together with the medium through which they are. So it's just like dealing with cloth, then it has a nature. You understand it, you can apply it in a multiplicity of ways. So all the arts that would connect with cloth will be, you know, a group. All that would connect with thread, connect with conversation, connect with all these different things will come together. So in the modern, you don't necessarily put them together that way. Mm-hmm. Like that. Okay. The art of making a covering of flowers for a bed. Right. So how to decorate the bed very nicely, or even make the bed itself is just covered with flowers. It's not that you have a bed, you know, a nice bed cover, and you put a few flowers. The bed cover is the flowers. So you've created a bed like this, and then covered it with flowers in such a way, like in the kunjas, that the beds are made from flowers. Like that. Yeah. 9. The art of applying preparations for cleansing the teeth, clothes, and painting the body. Right, so now, applying preparations. So that means there's the art of painting the face and body with that. It means those are the designs. Then there's the art of being able to put it on. Does that make sense? It's just like I have the Mehendi designs. Okay, so knowing the designs is one art. Knowing how to put it together and get it to come out of the tube and actually stick on your arm, that's another art. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the
sandalwood has to make it so it doesn't drip off you.
Yeah, so all these different things that you know how to deal with that so you get that effect. Yeah, you know, like somebody has the thing of that, and they take the flower in great enthusiasm, put it in the sandal paste, and put it on. The water is dripping off; everything's falling. Instead of putting it in and then shaking it, and then with that, then putting it, you know, instead of pushing hard, they're putting it lightly. So all these things is within an art. You still have an art, you know. So that's the thing is that arts is the whole point of rasa of interaction. That's the whole. So what we're discussing is tattva, like what we discussed before, is that. About if the devotee's in anxiety that I put in so much effort in society, what do I have to show for it? So now what we discuss is the tattva of it. Now when he's going to discuss that with that devotee, you're going to apply the art, you know, according to the situation, the person, you know, what you're talking about and all that, and so then it comes out so much more nicely. Otherwise, if you just take what I say here and apply that, then it may or may not work. Right. Okay. So how to apply the preparation to clean the teeth, the cloth, and painting the body? Right? All those things go together. So that means how to apply these unguents. So there's a technique to that. 10. The art of making the groundwork of jewels. So how to create something where the jewels have to be, but how to make the thing in which the jewels will go. Because at the end, it should be just you drop the jewel in and close it, and it's done. Right? So it means the groundwork is more important.
That's in the metal.
Yeah, when in the metal or whatever you're putting it in. So you have to have the thing. Then you just like Prabhupada mentioned before, is that let's say the jeweler is making the ring for you. You don't leave the gem with him. He takes the measurement, and then he makes the ring. And when the ring is finished,
then he brings the ring, you have the jewel, then in front of you he puts the jewel in and closes it up in his tongue. That's the actual way of doing it. You don't leave. Which costs more, the jewel or the gold?
The jewel.
Yeah, so therefore you hold on to the jewel, he makes the gold. You know, and if you can't make it, then what's he doing in the business? Right? That's the whole point. Yeah. The art of covering the bed. So just how you put the bed together, how you set it up and all that. You know, even nowadays, it's a whole art. You go into these fancy hotels, it's a whole art. You get books just on how to do this kind of thing. Yeah. Like that. 12, the art of playing on music in water. So, okay. So...
You're in the water and you play music. It's like the water orchestra.
Yeah, yeah. No, it just means how you have that, you know, the tube going up there to get the air and the same time your trumpet, you know, like that. You know, so like that.
I thought.
But you don't use an electric guitar. You just stick to an electric wouldn't work out good. Yeah.
I thought this is when they play the wine glasses with different levels of water.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's the Jala Taranga. Yeah. It means you have these bowls and you fill them with water.
Yeah.
And then accordingly you have the things and then how you play on them.
Yeah.
It's a standard musical instrument. You don't hear it much anymore. But in the 70s, a lot of times you'd hear it, especially, you know, with classical music. South would use it more. Jala Taranga. Yeah. Sometimes you hear it when you have these, what do you call it? Sometimes they do these things, you have these very pleasant kind of bhajans. You know, they're basically, you could say, like popular bhajan. Or sometimes chanting the shlokas.
Yeah.
You know, and you have that, you know, in the background here, the ding 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 ding. That's the Jala Taranga.
Yeah.
And it's a very pleasant sound.
Yeah. Like that.
Okay. The art of splashing with water. He means, in other words, it just to splash, you have to know what you're doing because you have to be able to effectively conquer the other person. So you have to know how to splash.
And get it in the eyes.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a way of doing it. You know, this.
I thought also, like in front of shops, sometimes they're like putting the water out.
That can also. It means it's just how you do that because you have to know how you hold the cup, how to splash the water.
Yeah.
Because it's a specific method. Yeah. Yeah. The art of practically applying the admixture of colors. So how to paint and how to put the colors together and get what you want. 15, the art of designing a preparation of wreaths. So how you say the concept of how you put the garland together, how the different things happen and how you know what goes where, because the Vanamala is 5 different colors. So how to get that and make the balance and the symmetry and everything like that. 16, the art of practically setting the coronet on the head. Right? So how to wear, you know, properly all these various headgear. Because otherwise they tend to fall off. You notice that you're all wearing them, so why don't they fall off? Because you notice that there's no chin strap. Bhishma Dave's out on the battlefield, there's no chin strap. Right? But nowadays there's a chin strap, so that means they don't know this art. You know? Okay, 17, the art of practically dressing in the tiring room. Right? So how to put clothes on, how to deal with clothes. The art of decorating the tragus of the ear. I know the tragus is this part of the ear.
I was reading it was the pointy part.
Pointy?
That's the anti-tragus.
Huh?
The pointy part is the anti-tragus.
Oh.
Trans. Yeah, because Vedic doesn't use this so much. You can. They use that here because it's decorating
it's
here.
It's easier to decorate.
It means you have the low, but you have this spot here, and then you have this spot here.
Okay.
And then you can always put in more. But those are the free standard.
Okay.
Because otherwise, how to get the balance out, you know, so it looks nice and looks like one thing. Otherwise, you can just end up with something, you know, opulent but not necessarily well balanced. Right? So, okay. Art of practically application of aromatics. Right? Just how to put them, how they get effect, and also how to use them.
everything like that, because otherwise if you spray them in the wrong place, like in the air, they don't necessarily work so good.
The eyes.
Yeah, eyes, yeah. Bad place to spray, yeah. The art of applying or setting ornaments, and how to place them. The art of jugglery, and then how to, you know, just how to deal with things like this. Kauchu Mara, a kind of arc. Kauchu Mara. Didn't give any details. Well, you know, remember what that was?
We looked it up, but we had something written for that.
Yeah. Okay. We got all these and got that.
Okay.
Art of sleight of hand, you know, because that's always fun, what you can do with the hand and the various things. So the sleight of hand, these simple, you know, by sleight of hand, the magic and all that kind of things. Because that's always, because the whole point is rasa, so if you can do any of these things, it's always fun. Okay. 24, or it can be used in other things, you know.
Stealing sweets.
That's there. Also for rasa, purpose of rasa. Right? 24, art of preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake, and delicious food. And then the art of practically preparing palatable drinks and tinging draughts with red color. So you have food and drink, 24 and 25. So therefore, also in the deity worship, you have the naivedyam and the paniyam. Right, so the naivedya will be the foodstuffs and the paniyam will be the drinks. Look at that. So this will be all the varieties of foodstuffs that you can come up with. And then red color somehow is very nice for, you know, it's interesting to drink. Like that. It's very standard. 26, art of needleworks and weaving. 27, art of playing with thread, because you have ways that you can play. You know, sometimes kids have in different things. You take the thing and put it together, and then they do something, and then they keep going like that. And so, I mean, we knew a couple of them. Then I bumped into some kids from South America, and they knew a lot more, right? Because, you know, they said they can just sit there for hours and do it. Right? So they have more time. Yeah.
Like Cat's Cradle.
Cat's Cradle. That's would be one of them. I'm sure that there's other things, but that's the one that. 28, art of playing on lute and small X-shaped drum. So the lute is the, you know, it means the veena. The lute will be the, like the Saraswati veena, like that. Or technically like a sitar, it's a lute, that shape, like that. And then playing on the small X-shaped drum. Ways to play it, but there's also, depending on what they are, you can change the tone in them. So that's the thing, you have to be able to know how to move and get the notes. So on the drum, you also know how to, by the pressure, by to get the different notes. Because so, you can, they do make them so that they play notes. They're playing percussion, but they're playing notes also. And so then they match very, very nicely. Okay, 29, art of making and solving riddles. And 29b, art of capping and reciting verse for verse as a trial for memory or skill. Right. Making and solving riddles, so how you can put things together, and then they find, you know, the answers, and then, what do you call it? Capping or reciting verse for verse, because that's the way you either on your own you're doing it, or like the method how we teach them. So that's an art, because then you do that, develops the memory. It's that you have memorized things, but by using it, you develop the memory. So that's the advantage. 30, art of practicing language difficult to be answered by others. Right, so that's a, you know, so rhetoric works, falls into that category. Mm-hmm. Or just using things that people, you know, it's just to have some fun, you say things. 31, art of reciting books. And, I think Pallada Nanda Maharaj is, you can recite Krishna book, right? So that's an art. I mean, word for word, that's far. 32, art of enacting short plays and anecdotes. So the other is that theatricals would be the bigger things. And then here's short plays and anecdotes. So that'll be shorter things, right? So this is a, he says, though it's in here, it'll be a major aspect, but it's in that category. 33, art of solving enigmatic verses. Like how to figure out what's it means you've created these verses that are difficult, so now you know how to, there's a method to go about it. Just like, let's say,
you hand a general person a Rubik's Cube, right? They'll just kind of take it and move it around, and maybe eventually they might get somewhere, but a good chance not. You hand it to a nerd, they go and they have a formula. And they start going like this, and in 30 seconds it's done. Right? Therefore, they have to make ones with, you know, 6, 7, or all different funny shapes and all these kind of things to try to increase. Otherwise, you know, 1.5 minutes of playing with something, you know, kind of, how much do you do, right? You know, so you have to have somebody that takes a little longer. Okay. Art of designing preparation of shield, cane, and arrows. So how to put all these different decorations together. It was interesting, we saw in... It was in, what is it? I think it's called Kroon's Court. I think it's, no, Kroon's Court? Woolsey's place? Henry VIII, he sat up there, and then after that, a lot of the kings, they were there for a long time, and then more recent time, I think the queen shifted to other Birmingham Palace. Buckingham is the main, but otherwise before this one was the prominent. And in there, going back, I'm not sure how far, 100 or 150 years, then one of the halls, it's just decorated with weapons and swords and shields and everything, just, you know, as all like that.
You can see a similar thing in some of the palaces in Jaipur.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they're just decorated with those. It's just
arrangements of arrows.
Yeah. So it's one of the things to do. The art of spinning by spindle, right? Means you want to make thread. So that means you have to be able to take the thing and get, or you have the spindle and put it on there to get the threads proper, and then to be able to take them off. You know, so dealing with all the things that deal with thread. 36, the art of carpentry. And so that includes mechanics and everything like that, because the Vedic is mechanics are done with wood. Very minimal is done with metal, like that. The art of engineering. Right? So how you would build things, how it connects together, so that you can design things nicely. 38. Art of testing silver and jewels. Right. So to be able to know if they're real or not. 39. Art of metallurgy. Right. So how to combine the different metals and do, you know, like Rupa Goswami made Radha Damodar. So that means he would have known this. 42, art of practicing medicine or medical treatment by herbs. 43, art of knowing the mode of fighting of lambs, cocks, and birds. Oh, art of mineralogy. Oh, tinging jewels. Yeah, art of tinging jewels. So in other words, let's say you're supposed to work with a particular jewel, but, you know, for an outfit, you need green, right? But you're supposed to use rubies. So how to dye rubies green. You know, so that you can have, you know, a green outfit. The art of mineralogy, like how the minerals work, or how, you know, what they're good for, and all these different things. Okay, 43, art of knowing the mode of fighting of lambs, cocks, and birds. 44, the art of maintaining or knowing conversation between male and female cockatoos. Right, so either you know what they're saying, or you can actually have a conversation with them. Like that. Because now here's something that, right, the papagai, but here the cockatoos are the bigger ones.
Yeah.
You know. So then because they can go anywhere. They can hear the conversation. They can come back and tell you, you know. So they're a good one to know about. You know. I say, Parikit Maharaj is very good at this art. No? He was talking, hearing 7 days, having a conversation with one. So.
In Brisbane Temple, there used to be a cockatoo that would chant Hare Krishna.
Oh, yeah. Regularly. In Brisbane. I think there was also one at Christchurch. So Kumar used to spend hours with him. Okay, so let's stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.